Music and visual art will always go together. The cover art, or the whole visual representation of artists and their records, actually, can be as much a part of a record as the sound, at least to my mind. So I thought we should talk a little bit about this. For me, I'm very interested in change in general, also in my art. I work with change and human adaptation, in how fast we start taking things for granted. Inventions and innovations of all kinds in this ephemeral and very fast changing world, where we find ourselves using new products, using new things all the time without really stopping to consider. Suddenly it is here, and we adapt. I find it strange. And the availability of recorded music is one of those things that I find to be very strange, actually.
Agree.
Because, I mean, it's just under or around 160 years ago since a man named Edward Lyon Scott de Martinville, I had to write that down to remember. But this, at least as far as I know, was the first person to successfully capture a sound and reproduce it in a physical object so that we could play it again. He invented a machine he called the phonautograph, and the very first recorded music or the recorded sound in the world is a very eerie French folk music tune. But in any case, just stop to imagine how amazing that is. Sound, which is this very incapturable momentary phenomenon that can have such an enormous impact emotionally on us. The ability to preserve a sound or a voice is a huge thing. It's a magical thing that we very, very quickly took for granted. Even though it's not like Martinville's invention of directing his... What he did was he had this kind of conical horn that he would direct to focus on the physical waves that sound creates. And through this cone, he could direct the sound waves towards a very sensitive membrane or a diaphragm, which was located at the apex of the cone, which in turn was connected to a kind of an inscriber or a stylus. And again, as if by magic, the changing air pressure moved the diaphragm back and forth, and the stylus would scratch into this moving recording medium, which would typically be a cylinder, or a disc which was coated with some kind of soft material. That's how he figured out that he could capture sounds, by actually writing down the physical parameters of the sound wave. Exactly. The thing is, of course, that these very early recording experiments were necessarily of very low fidelity, and the volume. You could only capture a very narrow segment of the audible sound spectrum, I think typically from around 250 hertz until just over 2000. So when speaking of change and adaptation, what also happened is that musicians at the time, people who wanted to record music or singing, also had to adapt to this technical limitation. So maybe we will never know how people actually played and sung before we started to record music, and they had to start to sing and play in a way that would fit into this early medium. So it's... and the way they did record it was, of course, there were no tracks, there were no possibility to produce music like that. So you would have the horn or the cone in the middle, and the musicians would place themselves in a strategic way around this and play as loud as possible to capture some of that sound onto the cylinder, the wax cylinder. But something happened around 1910, which was when the 78 records replaced this the phonograph cylinder as the main medium for recorded sound. And these discs were issued in both a format we know very well today, a 10-inch and a 12-inch disc, really. And were usually sold separately in to consumers in brown paper bags or cardboard sleeves, which would typically just have some printed information about the producer and what was on this record. The so-called second wave of audio recording was ushered into the world not that much later, actually, by a company called Western Electric, which invented something also quite magical that we are taking very much for granted. We are using them right now, which is the electric microphone. They also developed electronic signal amplifiers and electromechanical recorders, all of which was adopted by what would become major record labels by 1925. I mean, that's less than 100 years ago. What this invention from Western Electric meant technically was, of course, that sound recording now became a hybrid process. You could capture the sound, then it could be amplified, it could be filtered, it could be balanced electronically. But the actual recording process remained essentially mechanical. The signal was still physically inscribed into a VAX master disc before a consumer disc would be mass-produced mechanically by stamping a metal electroform made from the VAX master into a suitable substance. First, this substance was something called a shellac-based compound, which is actually a secrete from a bug that lives in trees, mostly in Asia, which was, of course, a very elaborate and costly process to get this resin out of a bug and use it to press records. So it didn't take that long before the industry figured out that polyvinyl, plastic, was also a great medium for this purpose. And I'm not going to geek out so much about the technicalities of that tonight, and actually I'm not that knowledgeable about how all this stuff works. As I said, this is things we take for granted. Once it's here, we speak into microphones and become amplified, and we buy the records and put them onto here and have it out to the loudspeakers, and that's like the level most of us relate to how it works. It's here and we adapted. I think it's enough for our purpose to say that these inventions, of course, greatly improved the fidelity of sound recording. The reproducible frequency range increased considerably to a much wider band, from much lower to much higher. Mm. And it made us able to capture a fuller, richer, more detailed, and also layered sound on record by using multiple microphones connected to a multi-channel electronic amplifier, running it through compressors, filters, mixers, and so on. So the possibility of electronic amplification had a wide-ranging impact, not only in how we recorded music, but also on how we consumed it, how we listened. Because, of course, electronic amplification paved the way for broadcasting radios that you would and PA systems and electronically amplified home record players. So suddenly, music was everywhere. There's a lot more I could say, of course, about further technological developments. Magnetic tape recording came a few years after. In my kind of music scene or underground, the tape has very much come back also as an alternative medium for preserving or distributing music. I mean, we don't even have to get into the impact of the digital era in terms of how we consume music today. What I want to note is that what we, of course, have witnessed in the last few years is that the vinyl record, in all its simplicity, have become tremendously popular again. And I mean, it's a very inconvenient medium. It weighs a lot. It's a very elaborate production process. We have tapes and CDs, dots, mini discs, and of course now also uncompressed digital streaming as alternatives for listening to music. But like the collective unconscious has turn towards the vinyl record again. I think those things are, of course, very much connected, that things move fast, we adapt, but we realize that we're losing something on the way. So we try to ground ourselves, and there's no better way to ground ourselves in music.
Carrying heavy stuff around.
To carry the heavy stuff, and of course, even without understanding the technicalities, the vinyl is by default a completely physical medium. The music is here inscribed as little waves, and there's something very poetic about that, I think.
Definitely.
So I don't know, Jiri, if we should...
maybe I can introduce
the first listening session. Yeah.
Because I think what you said about recording music, before we recorded music, a piece of music was basically a set of harmonies and melodies and rhythms that existed uncaptured in a way. It would change every time. Mm. But now we have a way of sort of turning it into something that plays the same every time. Mm. And that, of course, is something that we need to work against as artists and stuff.